Thank you to Dan Wargo for today's community calendar. If you're just tuning in, this is the KHSU homepage. I'm your host, Lorna Bryant, sitting in for Katie Whiteside. Joining me in the studio today are Marcel Ruiz and students Carla Sanchez and Carlos Sanchez. Marcel is an assistant professor at HSU's School of Education, and Carla is a junior in psychology, studying psychology at HSU, and Carlos is a graduate student in the credentialed program here at HSU. So let's start with a statement about DACA and what DACA... Well, first, welcome to you all.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start with a statement about DACA and what it means. DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It's an American immigration policy ordered by President Obama as an executive action that allows certain undocumented immigrants to the U.S. who entered the country before their 16th birthday and before 2007 to receive a renewable two-year work permit and exemption from deportation. It was started by the Obama administration in 2012, and this policy now faces threats by President-elect Donald Trump. I think this policy is known commonly as the DREAM Act or DREAMers. Marcel, would you care to expound on that a little?
It's part of the DREAM Act, but we have a DREAM Act that that encompasses all undocumented students, right? So AB 540, AB 136, you know, which allows undocumented students to come to the university and pay in-state tuition. And it also allows them to have certain grants, certain in-state grants that in-kind people donate money for them to acquire. And this is in light that there hasn't been a DREAM Act nationwide, right? A federal DREAM Act that people have been pushing, the DREAMers have been pushing for there to be a way to legalize. We haven't had legalization in a very long time. There hasn't been an act to legalize people who are undocumented. But this was only created for the for children, for students, for teenagers, right? With this concept that it wasn't their fault that they came to the United States illegally, it was their parents. So the parents don't get legalized, but the kids do. But then what does that mean to the parents? Then Obama also created DAPA, wanted to create DAPA for the parents, Deferred Action for Parent Arrivals.
Okay.
And but that never went through the Senate or the Congress didn't
allow
that.
The Supreme Court.
Yeah. Didn't allow them to. No, they held it. They didn't allow it to go through.
Okay. Wow. It made it all the way to the Supreme Court and it...
To the appeals. It made it through the appeals, but didn't since one of the justices died. So it was even. So it went back to the original ruling, which was no.
Wow.
So since that happened, like maybe that justices was still alive, then it would have gone through. But it was even, so it went back to the lower ruling, and it didn't pass.
So presidential election occurred November 8th, and President-elect Donald Trump has been adamant and very vocal about undocumented folks in the U.S. and deportation and building a wall. What does that mean right now here in this community and for students around? Carlos, would you like to talk about that?
Yes. So some in the credential program, I'm involved in several schools here in Fortuna and Arcata, and you can feel the environment for certain students. We have had several students come up and say that they're in fear for their families to get deported back to their homeland. They're afraid for their families. Every time they go out into the streets to work, to the stores, they're in fear. And not to mention some microaggressions that they encounter every single day. And because of this election and what Donald Trump has brought, it's made it more explicit for those microaggressions to be more vocalized and more violent in a way.
Have you experienced any of those microaggressions you're speaking of or seen firsthand with others?
I have had, personally, I have here in this area in Humboldt County, it's been a little bit more subtle. But I've gone back to home to Oregon, and the treatment from people is like, what are you doing here? And like, you see Confederate flags flying all over town. And you just feel it. And one time I had this specific encounter at a store who, like, the clerk didn't even spoke one word to me just because I looked brown.
Wow. What about you, Carla? Have you experienced anything post-election?
Well, I'd just like to say I'm also a documented student, so I came here at the age of 2. And just after the election, I was kind of left speechless for the same reason that I understand what that means after, like, say, you were talking about DACA. If that goes away, what is that going to leave us, you know, as well as, like, different other people? What is that, like, in the fear that most people are worried about other things, but at the same time, they have the privilege of still being here, while us, now what? Like, we're in the, basically, like, in between of yes or no, and especially we don't know what he's going to do.
Right. As a matter of fact, there was a letter sent to each of the 23 campuses within the CSU system. The chancellor's office has advised administrators to tell DACA recipients currently studying abroad to return back to the U.S. before the new president's inauguration. It's highly likely that as of January 20th, DACA students who are abroad will not be allowed to reenter the U.S. And that was a quote from that letter. This has been pretty unprecedented. I've seen here on campus, within the CSU system, the chancellor's office, and, you know, coming from President Rossbacher's office, there have been letters that have been sent out, letters that have been distributed campus-wide for faculty, students, and staff, expressing a stance on this. Maricel, would you like to speak a little? Oh, Carla?
I would like to say something, too. We've also been pushing with free finding resources and empowerment through education on getting an undocumented to center. We've been trying to talk and get conversations, but it's always been denied, especially by the administration. So other campuses like UCLA, Cal State Long Beach, Cal State LA have those resources, but why aren't we getting it here, especially being that the HSI, Hispanic Serving Institution, they know we're here. It's just they want numbers. The statistics are out there. It's just it's hard to get them. It's hard to go through different administrations.
Well, so at what level has that been denied here at the university?
It's always been talks. They've always been like pushing us, oh, go here, go there, and they won't give us the space as well. So we provided evidence of how much it's been successful in different institutions, but we haven't had the resources or there's no space available, you know. And the students, especially of free, have been pushing and trying to get it because, like myself, and there's others out there that are afraid or even have been spoken out, are wanting those resources, especially in a rural community so far from home, some of us.
So there are now centers for academic excellence on campus. There's an African-American center. There's a Latino-Latina center. Are there any talks of a collaboration between FREE and the center? Has that been discussed?
We've had help, but what are they actually doing? I guess that's I have a problem with the centers in general, especially the Hispanic, because in general, what are they doing? They're bringing up a bunch of, I can't use the word, but, you know, they're bringing up a lot of issues to me that are not relevant to us undocumented students, you know, so it's for Hispanic, it's very general, and I'm specifically looking for undocumented students, unfortunately, because we're very small, but at the same time, we're very strong and proud.
Do you know what the numbers are here at HSU?
Roughly, I don't, but I know Dr. Cesa Abarca and I myself have been working with other students and trying to figure out different the surveys that have been posted for housing and trying to get that information back. But it's hard going out there with the administrations and getting the numbers because for sure they know, especially in financial aid, they understand and they know who they are.
Right. So, Maris, should I be calling you Dr. Ruiz?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, forgive
it's
me.
It's okay.
Because I have come to know you socially, I forgot. So forgive me, Dr. Ruiz.
No.
So what does all of this mean for the university, for students you encounter, and, you know, where do we go from here moving forward to January 20th?
So I think there's, we also need to talk about, like, the racialization of brown people. Like, they used to, instead of saying Jim Crow, they used to say Juan Crow in, like, SB, because of SB 1070 in Arizona. Show me your paper. Like, every time you're driving, if you're brown, show the papers, right?
Right.
And so I think that we need to talk about how Latinos, Chicano Latinos in the United States have been racialized, and that racialization looks at them as illegal immigrants, not understanding that, well, no, even the term mestizo were created on this land, right? So we were created here because of colonization, the Spanish, right, and the English, right? And that was part of California. That was part of California's history, the missions. And there's also indigenous people here. So, and when I talk to students, and once the elections hit and they learned that Trump was a president, there's been a lot of fear, even from documented Latinos, right? Chicano Latinos, just as the ways in which we're viewed and the ways in which people feel like they can just scream out, like, go home, you illegal. Like, I think there's a misunderstanding that the majority of Chicano Latinos are not illegals, right? Although we, even though we, and we're in solidarity with a lot of our brothers and sisters who are undocumented, because we understand how this push happens. There's always a push and pull. Things don't just happen. There's always, and we also need to understand immigration in terms of, like, we always have open doors, because we're always getting even people who are very educated to come to the United States. Why? Because we don't have those resources here, because we're not educating our people. So the basic right that should be a human right is to have good education for all of our students. You know, right now we have Fidel, I just want to say Fidel died, right? And when they say all these things about him, but one of the things that he's known for is his education. And people in the United States, like, they have 100 students from the United States. They're educating them for free to have to be doctors.
Right.
And I know two already in New Mexico who are exercising as doctors because they passed the exams in New Mexico, right? So here we could do the same thing. We could be known for being a humanitarian country where we give free education to everybody without discriminating. The basic, for me, a basic right of any human being is their education, is food, shelter, and a worthwhile education where we can make a difference.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I think that's the other thing that people don't talk about, that why do we bring in people educated and low-skilled workers? We're always bringing in, keep the cost down, and not educating this population here in the United States, which I think also needs to be talked about.
Right. And there are a lot of fears and concern going into this next presidential administration, most definitely. So, Carlos, I want to ask you, is this why you have chosen the field of education for yourself, what Dr. Ruiz was speaking of?
Yes. one of the primary reasons I chose education to be a teacher is because when I was in high school, I always was thought of as a statistic, as someone who wasn't knowledgeable enough to get an education. In my high school, I think it was around roughly, so I want to say 60% white racial makeup.
And where was that?
That was in northeastern California.
Okay.
It was mainly agricultural work, so the demand for low-skilled workers is still there. And it depends heavily on the water that it rains each year. So to me, whenever I see and go back to my community and I see students who are thought as blank pieces of knowledge, that they don't carry any knowledge, and they, I want to say, their standards are lowered, but One thing that we have is that we're tenacious, just like anybody else. And once we overcome that mentality that we're just going to be another statistic. I mean, we're powerful enough to bring change into the world, this world. And that's why one of the primary reasons that I went into education, because I want to empower students.
And I'm guessing in Fortuna and Arcata schools, Latino and Latina students see you, and they are empowered just seeing, okay, people are looking at me as if I'm a statistic, but I'm looking at him as a mentor, as a leader, as something I can be in the classroom. So I commend you for going into that field, and thank you. Absolutely. So we are almost out of time, but I look at you, Dr. Ruiz, and I think you.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm hoping that this community can stop with the Confederate flags, because I think that we really need an education on what the Confederate flag is. Someone said, oh, but the Confederate flags don't mean. I was like, no, they mean something. They're a symbol of racism, and they're a symbol that you don't belong here. And Latinos are not the only undocumented, right? And they're a small percentage of the undocumented. And so many of us are legally and have been in this land, California, for generations, since this became even a state, even before this became a state. Mm-hmm. So I think that needs to be known by people. And right. But at the same time, we should think about, like, when we throw our Confederate flags and tell people to go home, what are we really saying? And as educators, we really need to be humanitarians in the sense that everybody deserves an education and our attention and the best education that we can give every human being. Like, we need to stop this Juan Crow, Jim Crow attitudes towards people. We all belong in this earth, and this is and we are on We Out Land, right? So even here on campus, this is We Out Land, and we need to acknowledge that and cherish our. If anything, we need to be fighting for the earth.
Absolutely.
For our water resources, and not fighting against human beings, because we're targeting people who aren't at fault.
Absolutely.
For the things that are happening.
Absolutely.
I think Carla wanted to say.
Oh, especially with the Confederate flags going piggybacking off of that. I've seen them a lot, especially on campus. Like
on campus?
Sorry, not on campus, but outside, like near the premises. Yeah. And that's even scary to me, because I walk alone to some extent, and they're always yelling. Like, I know for sure I've seen a truck constantly go through where I, like, walk, and they're always looking out, and I know they have one. And it's scary, because it's very, like, I know I'm brown. I know how I look. I know who they're targeting, too. So, and now it's becoming more blunt. Their attacks and their verbal and what they're saying is more blunt. So that needs to stop. That really does. And like Dr. Ruiz said, we need to have that conversation within our community and within the school. That has to be, it's a call for action.
I'd like to point out that Dr. Rossbacher, the president of HSU, sent out a letter the day after the election, and focusing on safe spaces for the campus-wide community. And one thing in particular that she ended her letter with, the university offers the RAVE Guardian Safety mobile app for all members of our university community. And it is an app that gives a little bit of security if you're walking alone, if you feel like you're in danger, experiencing like what you've said, Carla. And that is something that is important. Walking around in numbers, being safe, and being in a safe environment here in this community. It's unfortunate that in 2016, as we're entering 2017, there's a fear of racialized violence here in the United States. I thought this was supposed to be a post-racial society. I guess it's not. I'd like to also add, Carla, you mentioned that Dr. Cesar Abarca is working with undocumented students. He's a professor in the Department of Social Work, correct?
Yes.
And unfortunately, he could not be here to be a part of this discussion. But I'd like to mention I am one of the Thursday Night Talk hosts, and we've had those difficult discussions about race on Thursday Night Talk where I've hosted. And coming up in January will be my first Thursday Night Talk in 2017. It happens to be on January 19th, the eve of the inauguration. So we would like to continue this conversation for this Thursday Night Talk and have a discussion about what this presidential election and administration means for people of color in the United States, and more specifically, people within our community. So I'd like to invite you all back to continue this discussion. And let's just end with that. Unless you do you have any places where people can go for information or call out if there are concerns about